What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Pickleball Connection Podcast. I'm Barrett.
And I'm Danae.
And we're super excited to have you guys come along with us for today's episode, where we cruise the news and talk about some of the latest pickleball drama, as well as some controversial rec night topics. Always love those. But without further ado, let's kind of hop into it.
This is the moment we waited for. Everything you want is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
Danae, I hear there's an update in regards to the YOLA situation. If you guys have been following our podcast or the pickleball news in general, you know it's been a crazy ride as far as paddle regulations go with the YOLA and USAPA. Danae, you want to give us a little update?
Yeah, so this is a huge week. So if you guys aren't really familiar with what's been happening, on May 16th, the USA Pickleball, which is the governing body, or I should say one of the governing bodies at this point, one of the governing bodies of pickleball, delisted all the Gen 3, so the newest release of YOLA paddles. This happened May 16th. So players that were doing events sanctioned under the USA Pickleball umbrella were not allowed to basically use Gen 3 YOLAs. And what was interesting was we kind of got two separate reasons why. USA Pickleball basically said, hey, the paddles that they submitted to get cleared are not the paddles that are actually out on the market and being sold. While YOLA responded to that and they said, actually, it's just an admin error.
Yeah.
We just messed something up administratively. Things are going to get worked out. YOLA then said, you know, materially, we used the same things that were approved back in September 2023. And basically, YOLA was like, we're not worried about it. It's going to all turn out.
Just an error.
Just an admin error.
Yeah.
Just an admin error. Well, just this past June 4th, USA Pickleball came out with an official statement with an update on kind of the paddles. So they said that they confirmed that the paddles that YOLA had to resubmit for testing, so YOLA had to go back and resubmit paddles, are not the same that they did submit, and they are past regulation. So they are officially delisted from
past,
the US.
They didn't pass regulation.
They didn't pass regulation.
Right, right.
So they are basically illegal to play with any Gen 3 YOLA for USAPA sanctioned events.
Right. So it was kind of a second go around here.
So not just an admin error.
Yeah. They thought it was going to be resolved. However, yeah. Even on the second go around with trying to get these paddles passed or approved to clear up the error, clearly there was still something wrong. They were still past the standards.
Yes.
So what have you heard YOLA is doing kind of in response to this?
So YOLA came back and said something along the lines of, like, we're really saddened to hear this. We still stand by the fact that we believe that the materials are the same that should have been cleared. They did, to my knowledge, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that they are offering full refunds to anyone that purchased from, I want to say, April until May, if you purchase Gen 3 YOLA, I think that they're offering full refunds. I want to say that.
Yes, they did release that they are offering full refunds. I've actually talked to some local players that have the paddles.
Stop.
And I was like, are you getting your money back?
Wait, what did, I'm so curious.
And a couple of them said, like, no, I'm not sending this thing back. Like, I'm going to be that guy. And I thought that was interesting. Like, I don't know if I could be that guy, like, knowing I'm playing with an illegal paddle, but I'm like, I don't know, maybe these will become relics or collector's items or something. I don't know. I've talked to other people who were absolutely like, yes, I'm getting my money back, but I'm wondering with the influx of customer service orders and returns, like, how easy is this going to be? Like, are they going to require you to like send it back and then they're going to credit you like the money, or are they going to give you store credit? Like, I don't know. Just, it's an interesting deal. It was funny. Another guy I was playing with actually last night, he has a Gen 2 Yola paddle, but it kind of has like tape around the edge and it kind of makes it look like a Gen 3. And everybody was like, that's an illegal paddle. That's an illegal paddle. Like, he was getting called out and he was like, guys, it's a Gen 2, like, chill. So it's like affecting even non-Gen 3ers out there, like, suffering on the rec night courts. And I think that even for the foreseeable future, like what do you do if you see one of these at a rec night? Like, are you calling it out?
So,
like,
that's what's really interesting. I did a post on my page just talking about this whole issue, and it was really
all things pickleball,
and it was really fascinating to see people's comments, because people are literally all over the place. You have people that are like, I don't think that this paddle should be illegal, it's fine, it plays just like a Gen 2. And then you have some people that are like, thank God this is banned, like, I almost lost an eye at rec play. Like, and then you have some people that are like, yeah, I'm bummed, but, you know, I think that this is the right thing. And what's interesting is, you know, obviously we play at local parks, but there are facilities that have banned this paddle.
Right. It's hard to ban them from a local park, but if you're part of a club or a facility, there are facilities now that are like, we have to abide by the safety standards set forth by the governing body since 1984 in pickleball.
Yeah. So it's really fascinating. And, you know, I just want to throw this out there. I don't have all the information. You guys can look on USA Pickleball's website for all the illegal or legal, you know, list of paddles. But I also know that Rhombus is now delisted as well.
Right. Rhombus, kind of a lower, more budget friendly carbon paddle. They have a paddle called the Ripple that was delisted. I believe there's a couple other like names maybe you haven't heard of that have also been removed. So paddles are starting to fall.
Yeah.
Off
so
the
USA
list.
Pickleball is cleaning up right now.
Yeah.
And just think on that note, like, what do you think personally about all this? I mean, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I totally understand where people are coming from, in that it's kind of changing, or, you know, the integrity of how the sport is played. I think something about, I love the part of pickleball about the nuances of the long extended dink rallies where you really can't speed the ball up. And if you do, it's like going to be put away but like now with the amount of like pop and the amount of spin, like, it doesn't require you to have these longer rallies. It actually plays to you a lot, your advantage a lot of times, for you to not play into a longer rally, which I like that part of pickleball.
Yeah.
So personally, I'm glad that there are some standards that are being set and being enforced. I do think it, you know, it's interesting because at some point this was going to happen to some company because, you know, everyone's trying to be on the cutting edge side of like innovation and technology. And I think you can do a lot of cool things when it comes down to like spin. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, I understand that like there was, you know, a couple years ago, there was the whole, you know, drama with carbon and their paddles being too gritty and them getting recalled. You know, when it comes to spin, I think, you know, that can change the game in some ways, but I think it makes the game interesting. Whenever we're talking about like a massive increase in power and you have, you know, 100-pound women that are 4-0s that are hitting the ball harder than, you know, former D1 college tennis player guys, because I'm exaggerating, but it just changes the game. It takes away kind of a competitive advantage that some people have. And it was funny because I think I interacted with a post. I don't like to like Lately, I've been a little more savage on the internet. I don't like to like...
That's been getting in internet fights.
Not really. I mean, I kind of just do it out of my own entertainment, but I do have to stop myself from like... earlier today, I almost responded to this guy and I had to like stop myself. I'm like, I'm not going to get in an internet fight, like delete. So I like, it's like one of those things where you like, have you ever like typed out an email, like perfectly crafted an email, and then like you're like that's about to hit send.
Self-control.
And you like just can't hit send and you delete it. Yeah, it's kind of like one of those things. But yeah, I mean, basically I was basically in the comments and I was like, people feel free to play with these at Rec Play. Bring on your Gen 3s. If you beat me, I'm just going to put an asterisk by your win. That's all. And this guy's like, what a baby. Like, like I'm like, dude, here's the thing. I don't know. Like what would happen if we all had to play with the same paddle? Like who would be, I think that's a very interesting, yeah. I've heard this brought up even amongst like
pros,
like what would happen if one tournament a year or, you know, a couple tournaments a year, every pro had to play with the same paddle or maybe a non-brand, you know, I mean, obviously it wouldn't be as good for brands, but what would happen if every pro had to play with the same paddle? Like,
it would be fascinating to see the results.
Yeah. So I don't know. I also think it's like, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think it's hard not to like have an asterisk by someone's win if they have a clear advantage over you because of technology. You know, I'm like, There's a reason that in Major League Baseball, they don't let you cork a bat. You know, there's a reason why there's certain standards on equipment and industries because they want skills to shine forth, not just technology. So I don't know. I think it's good for the sport ultimately that this is happening. I think it's, you know, it's bound to happen at some point. It's unfortunate if you're YOLA because it, you know, affects your business. But this also another kind of topic. Did you hear that some rumors of some people getting sued? Lawsuits.
Yeah, go ahead and.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the full extent of the details, but I did hear some rumors that there was a guy that was threatening to sue YOLA, like for $5 million. I don't know who this guy is, but like you have actual amateurs and people out there that are threatening to sue YOLA for this. And then I've also heard rumors that YOLA is threatening to sue USA Pickleball. Old Jim Kloss, famous internet hero that he is, had a massively long post in Jim Kloss fashion and basically talked about how like this is not good for USA Pickleball because YOLA ultimately has way more money than them. Obviously, YOLA came up, was very popular around the world when it came to table tennis. So because YOLA has so much more money, even if USA Pickleball is right, it's not going to be good for them financially or publicity wise to get into a lawsuit with YOLA. Is this going to happen? I don't know. But be very interesting to see how UPA follows suit.
Yeah.
Which if you guys weren't aware, you know, UPA was recently created as a new governing body for the PPA and the MLP. And I think if they don't follow suit and, you know, do the same things that USAP's A is doing, then it makes them look a little more laxed. And I think they have to protect the integrity of pickleball paddle standards as well. So we'd love to hear from you guys, though. What do you guys think in the comments? Let us know. Are you...
Especially if you have a YOLA, I'd be curious what you think, you know?
Yeah, I want to know what you think if you have a YOLA. What are your thoughts? Are you sending your paddle back? Let us know. Are you keeping it? Are you okay playing with it still in rec play and being that guy? Or if you've played against one of these, do you think this is the right move? Or did you feel like this paddle created an unfair advantage for people at your local rec nights? And obviously rec nights are way different than like a tournament where it affects your duper rating and your potential prize money if there's money on the line in the tournament. But even at a rec night, you know, this can affect all levels of people. So let us know what you guys think in the comments. We need to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. like lessons, courses, podcasts, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. If you're already watching this episode on this app right now, thank you. But if not, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball.
So I have another topic that I want to talk about.
Yeah, let's hop into the next one here.
So this is going to, if you've ever played a tournament, and I'm not talking about like a local tournament, I'm talking about like a bigger one. Think your PPA, APP, I want you to especially listen up. So this person says, PPA Texas Open was very crappy deep to amateurs. First of all, there were a lot fewer people signed up to play. Second of all, the venue was very badly hit with rain. Our event was supposed to start at 4. Everything was postponed. The storm hit. And around 5, they completely canceled our event. All the other courts were devoted to the pros. A lot of money was spent on travel. Time was taken off work. This guy's talking about himself. Plus, the event itself cost me a lot of money. There are many indoor options in DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth, and PPA in the past have gone off-site to complete amateur games, but it seems like the priority was just given to the pros. Knowing that these events can be affected by weather, why haven't they created alternate plans? I think the organizers are not great. And then he goes on to say, I've had better experiences at other tournaments, and then it ends it.
This is the PG version.
And then ends, I know I'm giving PG, and then it ends with also no swag bag. So what do you think?
I think if this guy would have gotten a swag bag, he'd be way
more
chill.
He'd be way happier.
No, I mean, I hear the pain. I hear, you know, this guy's paid a bunch of money. If you haven't played in a PPA or even an APP event, you're dropping coin just on registration fees alone. I know the last tournament we played in one event. I think it cost us $175
each,
and that was just registration. So take out travel,
place
lodging,
to stay,
you know,
food.
All of that. So, I mean, the tournaments can be pretty pricey, and obviously the PPA could do nothing about Mother Nature and the amount of rain that they got at the Texas Open, but amateur events were canceled. And you know, when you sign up for
completely canceled,
right? And when you sign up for one of these tournaments, you are asked if you want to purchase insurance, meaning
weather insurance.
Weather insurance, you know, meaning if there were a weather delay or something, and it's not cheap, you know, to get it's like $30-$40 extra dollars on your. You know, already you're already spending $200, right? So a lot of people will, you know, if you pay that money and it's sunny, you lost that money, right? If you pay that money and it happens to rain, then you get refunded or even partially refunded, I've seen on some tournaments. And so most people don't do it, right? Most people don't buy weather insurance, you know? And if you don't buy it, you lose your money and you don't get to play. So what do you think? Do you think that's fair? Like I
this is where I'm at. So if you guys don't know, I have a background in running. So I've done a lot of races.
She's very fast.
I've done a lot of races. And what I love about a lot of the running culture is if like a race gets rained out or something like that, because that does happen. I get it. You can't control the weather. What they do is they'll actually like, if they don't refund you, which I don't think I've ever gotten refunded, but I've always gotten a free registration for the next year's tournament. Like that's how they do it. At least the races that I've done in the past.
Oh, so for next year's tournament, it's not like you got refunded, but if you want to play next year.
Correct. It's not like I got refunded, but I get like a free entry to next year's race. And I always appreciated that as like a participant because it's a bummer. You realize like, yeah, you know what? You can't control the weather. It's fine. So I actually, and that kept me, I would say, quote unquote, loyal to like those race organizations because, you know, they were really cool about it. What's interesting, you know, obviously a race, you can't really run long distance indoors. But with pickleball, there actually is a good amount of indoor facilities. So I get what this guy's saying in the sense of like, why didn't they have a contingency plan, you know?
Yeah. And I think that to kind of their point, you know, PPA has become the professional, the top professional tour, you know? And so I think years ago, I don't even know if it's still their slogan, but their slogan used to be play where the pros play, mm-hmm. meaning you can come sign up as an amateur and play alongside the pros. Mm-hmm. You know, however, now I think their focus has shifted to the pros, and amateurs can very easily get kind of tossed to the side. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I've heard people say, like, will the PPA ever become a tour that is strictly pros? And if you're not a pro, you are just there to view. So will they continue to be an amateur and pro, you know, conglomerate, or will it, you know, shift to be just a professional tour that you can come as a viewer or you can come as a pro, and then other tours will take over the amateur side so that they can be the focus? I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but initially the branding of the PPA was play where the pros play. So you have to prefer the amateurs if that's going to be your slogan.
And that's my biggest issue too, is I'm like, you know, we just played in a tournament, and it, to be honest, it wasn't a great experience. Like, we were waiting hours for
two
our
and a
matches.
Half, I think we waited 2.5 hours on average between our matches.
Like, it was bad, you guys. And obviously we love playing and we're super competitive. We love tournaments, but at some point I'm like, these tournaments have to, like, make a better experience for amateurs. They need to cap registration, in my opinion.
Yeah. That's the problem with this tournament that we played. There was like 1500 people registered, yeah. And I will never play a tournament again with over 1000 people registered. I mean, maybe if I have to be there, if I'm already in this, if I'm traveling for work or for business and I'm already there. But yeah, I don't know.
You've lost his business. I'm just kidding. Yeah. So
it was bad, man. I mean, I'm getting tight. I'm falling asleep.
But
I'm coming off of an injury. So I
got drama.
I can't afford to take 2.5 hour breaks between matches.
So, okay. This is turning into like a therapy session.
I'm venting a little bit.
So basically, I understand. I guess what I'm saying is I'm with this guy or whoever posted this, because I realize and I recognize that these bigger tournaments aren't creating a really great experience for amateurs, which is such a bummer, because, you know, to be honest, that's a lot of money that we're paying to go participate in this. You know, like you said, you do travel. If you take off work, lodging, paying for the tournament, and then showing up and not getting to play, like, I would be devastated.
Yeah, I can hear that this guy was, he has every right to be upset.
So I wish, like, if I was, you know, if I could pull strings for the PPA, I wish that we could do something like you either get like half your registration back or, you know.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I also, like, if you guys are.
Have a plan for rain. I don't know.
If you guys are listening, like, if you've never played in one of these tournaments, they are fun in a lot of ways. You know, you get to see the pros play, you get to play it. There's a cool atmosphere. If you've never played in a big tournament, you should go do it. I'm not trying to steer you away from it. I just think that the problem, like you mentioned, has to do with them not capping the number of players that, you know, you can register.
Well, and this isn't even about the number of players. This is a rain plan. Like, they didn't even have a rain plan.
Right, I know, but I think that where they're pointed is, unfortunately, what it looks like to people is we're out to make money and we're out to care about the pros, and that we're going to let as many people register and we're going to take as many registration fees as we need to, even because we have to protect our baby, which is the pro tour. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to beware if you're signing up for a tournament. Is there a refund policy? Guys, let us know in the comments. Have you experienced this before? Have you experienced signing up for a tournament and later finding that it was canceled and you didn't get your money back? Or do you know people that have had poor experiences? Or do you know people that have really good experiences at tournaments, and what tournaments were those?
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to hear in the comments too, like, what do you think that a bigger tournament tour should do? Like, what are suggestions you have? Like, I'd be really curious. Go ahead and comment those.
Because I get it. It does take a lot to run one
1,000%.
Of these. So real quick, before we move on to the next topic, while we're talking about the PPA Tour and the pro scene, there are some interesting new partnerships. We're filming this as this weekend is kicking off, which is the Sacramento Open. Another side note, it's like supposed to be over 100 degrees this weekend at the tournament. And the other side to what we were just talking about is, you know, you can't play pickleball in the rain. You can't play pickleball when it's like super hot because people get overheated. You can't play pickleball with too much wind. Is the future of the sport indoors? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if what will happen. But let us know also in the comments. Do you like playing indoors or outdoors better? I like playing outdoors, but it's just not very practical for these big tournaments. Anyways, at this new tournament, there are quite a handful of new partnerships. And we're starting to see this more and more in the pro pickleball scene. But one in particular, top player in the world, Ben Johns, is going to be teaming up with James Ignatowicz. This is a first-time partnership. Ben normally plays with his brother, Colin. Very different play style does James have than Colin. What do you think about this partnership? And I want to get your prediction. Like, how far do you think they're going to go?
Oh, gosh, I'm really bad at these. I don't know. I think this is a very different partner than Ben is used to playing with. I think the only other right side player I've seen Ben play with, besides MLP, obviously, is Matt Wright. Yeah. I guess MLP is Eric Lang and
Tyler Leung.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So those are a couple that I've seen Ben play with, but obviously he plays mostly with Colin. James, to me, is a very different player than all of those people.
Right.
So I don't know how they will do. I mean, theoretically, here's my thought is Ben is somebody who has proven time and time again that he can win or go deep in a run with anybody.
Right.
Again.
Right. Other partners maybe have not proved it, but
yeah,
he's proved
it. Eric Lang, you know, Tyler, they win MLP. You know, so I guess all I'm saying is Ben is somebody who has proven in the past that he can win with a lot of people. So theoretically, even though I feel like James is very different from his past partners, I feel like they will do well. I feel like they'll go deep and possibly into the final. What do you think? I don't really know. Yeah, I don't really have strong thoughts.
So my prediction is that they're not going to win.
Okay.
They're either going to get taken out in the semis or they're going to make it to the finals and lose. Okay. That's what I think. I think J-Dub and Dylan, I think, could potentially get their fourth title in a row.
Okay.
And there's also some other interesting partnerships, Riley Newman and Gabe Tardio.
I'm excited about that. I think Gabe is just a right side monster.
I'm also super excited to see Jack Sock play with Thomas Wilson. I've been saying that from the beginning. They need to play
together. Think that they will play well. You know who else I think will do sneaky well?
Who's that?
Is Fed and Hayden.
Oh yeah. That's an interesting.
I think that's like a pretty fiery team.
So I think that there's enough like really good teams there. I think Tyson's playing with Deckel again. There's enough really good teams there where I don't know if James and Ben are going to do it on their, will it be surprised if they win? No, but I'm, my guess is they're going to get beat in the semifinals, but if they end up winning, what will this do with Colin? Cause Ben and Colin haven't been having the most success. And if James and Ben come in and win this one, like, I don't know. I think Ben's committed to Colin, but we'll see what does that do. Cause they haven't had a lot of success lately.
Would love to hear in the comments what you think of some of the partnerships
that
are happening.
Okay. Anything more? Do you want to go into the next one?
Let's do the next one.
Okay, cool. So question for you.
Talk to me.
I came across this post online.
Okay.
And basically, this person was talking about Bluetooth speakers. I know it's random, but Bluetooth speakers at Rec Play.
Okay.
So basically, this forum post, I believe it was on the Pickleball Forum Facebook page. So basically, in this post, somebody says, what do you think about people bringing out Bluetooth speakers to blast music at Rec Play? And I was shocked because this post had been up for 2 hours. There was almost 200 comments, and pretty much everybody was split right down the middle.
Really?
Half the people were like, no music, it distracts me, I can't play with music. And other people were like, I love it, bring it on. You know, what do you think about blasting music at open Rec Play?
I love the music at Rec Play. I think it's so fun. Where we play is we play at Crescent Lake, and Crescent Lake I feel like is known for like the vibes. You know, they bring literally this huge speaker. It's massive. Like the bass is just bumping and music's really loud. And I personally, I love it. I think it just sets the tone. I think it sets the vibe. I think it's just really fun. Even, you know, other places that we play, like I remember when we lived in Texas, there was always music, you know, it was like, but that was like very different. That was like 70s music, which I also loved. That's like my freaking era.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you like what type of music.
My freaking era. I love 70s. But yeah, I guess I'm a big fan of music at Rec Play, if you can't tell.
Yeah, I love it too. Honestly, I was just kind of shocked to see people in the comments. Like,
I'm shocked that people don't like it.
There was like it was pretty 50-50.
What were they saying that they didn't like about it?
People were saying like comments like, if you want to play music, set up your own games. Don't do it at rec night. It distracts me. It's annoying. Oh. Like, I think people just, I was shocked. There's a lot, because I'm down for it. But there's a lot of people that were like, you shouldn't be playing your music. You should reserve that for private games. So anyways, I'm curious at what you guys think. Do you guys have a problem with people blasting music at rec play?
Yeah, I guess that's a great question. That's pretty shocking to me that it's 50-50, because I would have assumed that most people wouldn't have a problem with it. But
I mean, I'll go back and check. But like I said, when I looked at this, it was up for post. It happened 2 hours previous. There was about 170 comments and it was pretty 50-50.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I think of like pickup basketball. I mean, okay, you don't really play music at pickup basketball, or like, I'm trying to think of other sports like soccer.
Oh, I
you don't.
Absolutely play music at pickup basketball.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah. I mean,
or like soccer.
It depends. You know? When I used to go up to like the rec center in college and play, like there wasn't music playing, but like if I were to go play with some boys, that were, you know.
Okay. So it's pretty normal.
I think so.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm also not the guy to like bring the music.
I don't either. I don't either. But
so
I'm
like, I'm there for it. If you have it, like.
If you have it, great.
But I'm not going to like go out of my way to like, I'm not going to roll out like a big.
We need
speaker.
To bring our speaker more when we drill.
We should do it.
Yeah.
This is inspiring. You can tell where we stand. Again, we want to know, where do you guys stand when it comes to blasting music at rec play? Does that need to be reserved for private games? Or is that cool with you?
And if you do, what's your music? What's your music?
Yeah.
What's
honestly,
your genre?
Somebody, if you want to be an absolute hero, put your pickleball, go to pickleball playlist
in the comments
below, and I will go give it a shot.
Yeah.
I'll go see how I play with it.
I'm into that.
Yeah. I saw a post one time where it was like some of the pro players were sharing like their favorite pre-game
songs.
I remember when I used to be in like sports in like high school, I used to like have my like noise canceling headphones and like my pre-game like playlist. But I haven't done that in a long time. But I feel like if I was a professional pickleball player, I could get behind that. Anyways, guys, let us know in the comments what you think. Guys, we did not have any questions come in. We had a lot of very interesting comments on our last video. If you haven't watched our previous episode, go back and watch it. There's some drama. We talk about, you know, lobbing elderly people. Is that okay? Is that not? We talk about, you know, some more of the paddle controversy. So go back and watch our last episode.
But no questions.
But no questions. Guys, if you have a question you want us to answer next time, please put it in the comments below and we will do our best to get to it. But other than that, I think that's all we got.
I think that's all we got.
Guys, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Pickleball Connection.